I appreciate the two songs that have been sung this morning, and I hope the rest of you realize that the first one was to praise our God, and the second one was a commitment to Him. And our brother Darren, has been commissioned to speak with us this day concerning those things and how to keep that promise that we have made. And for those who perhaps have not yet made that commitment, to give it serious consideration and recognize that it's He who saves us and not ourselves. You know, none of us live uncomplicated lives, and I know our brother Darren has the same challenges, and sometimes there's not a lot of time for preparation, and so he needs your prayers, that he'd be able to deliver that message that you and I need to hear. And so I would ask not only for your prayers for him, but for yourselves as well, to be listening intently, and to wear a smile on your face to encourage him. Brother Darren. He's still making notes.
Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. The commitment I'm going to talk about this morning is that commitment that we have to our children. Does everyone agree with me that we had a blessed, wonderful Bible school? It was wonderful. I was so impressed by our little ones. And I believe it was successful because first of all, you parents got them here. And second, we had really dedicated teachers who prepared very well in the instruction and in the training of our children. And I was so impressed and so pleased and so excited. Parents who came were so shocked at all the kids that were here. What a blessing. And my sermon this morning is to encourage us to make that year-round, as parents, a commitment to get our children here for Sunday school, to train them up in the way they should go at home. I'm going to start off with reading Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I thought I'd look up in Strong's what train meant in the Hebrew. And what the definition that was there was initiate or discipline. You initiate a way of life. You discipline your children in that way. Another word that was used was dedicate. In some Christian denominations, rather than calling when we bless a child, when we have them come forward, rather than calling it a blessing, they call it a dedication. And that's an interesting term for me. It's like a setting aside. At the same time, it is a commitment. A commitment to teach. When I think of a trainer, I think of a soccer trainer because my son Jose and my son Dennis, and my daughter Karina and my daughter Jolie, all four of them played soccer. And they had trainers and they were coaches who would teach them in the skills of soccer. And they would teach them by example. And so when I look at us as parents, as being trainers, we should teach our children what they should do by our example, by our dedication. One father who taught his children by example was Alma, the son of Alma. And if you'll remember, he wasn't a very obedient son himself. In fact, he and the sons of Mosiah sought to destroy the Church of Christ. And he was stopped by an angel and had a very powerful experience. And because of that experience and his recognition that God was willing to forgive him, in spite of all the knowledge he had and his sin against that knowledge, that God was willing to forgive him, he was willing and dedicated to serve God the rest of his life. And he went to foreign lands, one of which was to the Zoramites. And he dedicated his life to the Lord, and he set that example for his children. And when his, I think it's his youngest son, Helaman, was, I'm going to say, he says he was in his youth. I'm not going to say what age because I'm not sure. But it was, he wrote letters at that time to all, to three of his sons, and tried to remind them of the training they had received as children. And I'm going to read part of that letter to his son Helaman, and that's found in the 17th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. My son, give ear to my words, for I swear unto you that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. Well, what was he doing here? He was reminding his son of what the Word of God says. God gave that promise to Nephi way back 500 years prior, more or less, to when Alma was teaching his son this. So he was reminding him of the Word of God, something we ought to be doing with our children. And while I'm on that subject, previously, and I have not been doing as good a job at this recently, but I would read daily with my children. And that was good, and they learned from that. But as we read to our children, we ought to make it interesting. I had the privilege of overhearing a Sunday school teacher this morning, and she teaches some of our younger kids, and how exciting she makes the Word of God. And you could just, I couldn't see them, but I could tell from the quiet that they were paying attention, and the questions they asked, and the responses they gave. She made it interesting. And so they were able to think through what she was teaching them and respond to her questions and remember what she had taught them. And that takes dedication. First of all, it takes us understanding what the Word says and what the Bible stories entail. And it takes some preparation. So, yes, we should read the Word of God with our children, but even prepare for it by reading the Word, reading what we're going to read ahead of time, and thinking of some questions we can ask our children. Ask God to guide us in the teaching of our children those Bible and Book of Mormon stories. And we have lots of resources to go to here in the Church of Christ. Just think of all the different teachers and assistant teachers there were in Bible school. And we could go to any of them, as well as the ministry and other parents that we know of who have been, we've seen, be good examples to their children. Verse 2, I would that ye should do as I have done in remembering the captivity of our fathers, for they were in bondage, and none could deliver them, except it was the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he surely did deliver them out of, deliver them in their afflictions. Verse 3, and now, O my son, Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth. Before I go on to that, he was teaching in verse 2, faith. He was saying, look at those who have gone before us. We have a good chapter on that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which lists all these people who have given a good report by their lives, men and women, who have shown faith in God by their example, by what they did. And so he's telling his son here, think of all those who've gone before us, who were delivered out of all their afflictions. Verse 3, and now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. So hear of his words and learn of his example. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. And he knew that, Alma did, by his life. I had said earlier this was a letter, but it may have just been something spoken to him. But either way, he was teaching it. And he was teaching him by his words and his example. Let's go now to verse 22. And by the way, after verse 3, he told him of that experience of, and I don't want us to be afraid of admitting our faults to our kids. We don't have to go into the detail of sin and all of that. But here he specified to his son in verses 4 through 21 that he went about to destroy the church and God stopped him in his way because of the prayers of his father. But we should be willing to share our faults with our kids. That's how we know of the grace and the love of God. No, we shouldn't go into detail and glorify the devil in the detail, but we should be willing to warn our kids where we have stumbled, and the grace of God that he pulled us out of those situations. Verse 22. Yea, and from that time even till now, so from the time that he was struck down by God and spoken to by an angel, Until now, it says, I have labored without ceasing that I might bring souls into repentance. He felt the grace of God and his great mercy and love and wanted to respond by giving God his life. And so he did this. He labored without ceasing to bring souls into repentance, that I might bring them to taste of the exceeding joy of which I did taste, and they might also be born of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be about this, about witnessing to others, bringing souls to repentance by our example and by our words. And our children see that when they see us witnessing to others, when they see us serving others with the love of God, they witness it. Another example I have of a brother who's been an example for me, a brother and a sister, they took their children to foreign land. And many times they had to live by faith. And their children, because of their example, lived by faith. They learned to trust in God. Through trials, there were times they didn't have food to eat and prayed, and somebody came and brought them food. They saw healings of their parents. Their father had been shot, and God healed them because they were willing to live by faith, and that's in our time. Continuing in verse 23. Yea, and now behold, O my son, the Lord doth give me exceeding great joy in the fruit of my labors. For because of the word which he hath imparted unto me, behold, many have been born of God and have tasted as I have tasted, and have seen eye to eye as I have seen. I think of all those children that were at Bible school. They were there because some of them, they don't go to church here, but you all invited them. Some people might be here today because you all have invited them. And that is what we should be doing, sharing this wonderful joy that we have, that we can be forgiven, that we can be clean, that we can be a new creature, that we can live miraculous lives, that we can experience miracles and live by this joy. Therefore, they do know of these things of which I have spoken, as I do know, and the knowledge which I have is of God. And I have been supported under trials and troubles of every kind, yea, and in all manners of afflictions. Yea, God hath delivered me from prison and from bonds and from death. Yea, and I do put my trust in him, and he will still deliver me. And I know that he will raise me up at the last day to dwell with him in glory. Yea, I will praise him forever. For he hath brought our fathers out of Egypt, and he hath swallowed up the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and he led them by his power into the promised land. Yea, and he hath delivered them out of bondage and captivity from time to time. Yea, and he hath also brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem, and he hath also by his everlasting power delivered them out of bondage and captivity from time to time, even down to this present day. Once again, reminding them of the faith of their fathers. And you know, as we read the word more and more in our families and in church, it strengthens our faith. It strengthens our faith that this doesn't only happen in this time, but in our day. And it strengthens the faith of our children as well. Verse 28, and I have always retained in remembrance their captivity. Yea, and ye also had ought to retain in remembrance, as I have done, he's teaching his son, their captivity, But behold, my son, this is not all. For ye had ought to know, as I do know, that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. And ye had ought to know also that inasmuch as ye will not keep the commandments of God, ye shall be cut off from his presence. Now this is according to his word. And that's what we should be teaching our children. We should be teaching them the commandments of God by word and by example, as well as teaching them this promise that if we keep the commandments of God, we will prosper in the land. But if we don't, we will not. We'll be cut off. Turn with me now to Mosiah chapter 2. King Benjamin taught us how we should raise up our children in verse 25. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 25. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 21 because it's speaking to parents first. And if we should live and teach and train by example, then here's a good lesson for us, starting in verse 21. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily. And that's how we should start off our day. And standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. And of course, they were there before. King Mosiah was before the first coming of Christ. So they were looking forward to that day when a Savior should offer himself a sacrifice and be raised from the dead. But we should continue in that faith in that same Jesus Christ. And so he's teaching us here, start out the day humbly, humbling yourself in the depths of humility before God, calling on him and calling on him, through, you know, the teaching of the word and through prayer and through listening to him, and then live the rest of the day in faith, steadfast, thinking upon the word you read. Standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. So if we're to be a good example for our children, that's what we want. We want to be filled with, always filled, rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and retain a remission of our sins. So the promise is here for us if we do, if we call upon the name of the Lord daily and stand steadfast in his faith. Verse 23, and ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. We'll have greater understanding. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. So we will live peaceably. We won't be fighting and arguing. And if we do these things, these very simple things, if we make it a commitment like we do eating or taking care of our bodies, if we take care of our souls in that same manner by doing what he says to do here, and then we will not have that mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably. And verse 25, and you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God. So you'll take care of them physically, but then you'll also teach them spiritually. Neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin. So parents, when we do what we're told to do up in 21 and 22, then we will live peaceably. and we won't fight, and we'll set that good example for our children. And so that is the first step to the training process. But then we'll teach with words as well, that they should not fight, and we'll discipline them when they do fight. And you will not suffer them that they will transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness, not fighting, but in serious soberness, seriousness. It's such a temptation today to always focus on having fun with our children. This is teaching us something else. A seriousness. Teach us seriousness. A seriousness to life. That there's purpose in life. And that we have a creator who created us. And he's shown us the way, and we have it in the Word of God. We need to teach them that seriousness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. When they do fight and quarrel, teach them to forgive one another, to hug one another, to speak kindly of one another, to consider one another, to consider their brother or sister before themselves, and also, and I'll stop there. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, and this is the verse I want to highlight here, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm assuming that this is actually referring to fathers as in us men, rather than parents, as a whole, because I think it applies to all of us, but I think that it is a real temptation of us fathers to lay down the law, and this is the way it's going to be, and that's that, and be angry, and our children don't learn as well when we cause them to get angry. And so we need to do what it says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, giving them those things they need, the love they need from their fathers, the time they need from us, and also the admonition. So it's not that we shouldn't tell them what to do, but we should do it in love, and we should tell them what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1-5. I touched on this previously. A lot of times in this day, we get tempted to focus on fun in our own lives and our family lives, and we are not focusing on God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I think that's where the temptation comes in. We seek to please ourselves, to gain approval from others. It's a temptation that we have. And we have the world teaching us to do that in television programs and magazines and school and work. You know, do things for yourself. There's so much focus on self. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. And this is the part I really wanted to get to. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do we find that we're lovers of pleasures? Do we choose to do things to please ourselves rather than do things to please God? We ought to consider the choices we make every day. Is this a choice I'm doing to please me? Is it my will? Or is this a choice I'm doing to please God? And of course we have the Holy Ghost, those of us who have been baptized with it, and the Holy Spirit will come to those who ask. The Holy Ghost will guide us in all things we should do. And so we should ask him, what should we do? Should we do this or not do this? And he will answer. So, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, we need to, if we're that way ourselves, if we present ourselves as a godly person, but in actuality, in the things we say and do, are not godly, we need to consider that, because that affects us, but it also affects our children and our grandchildren. And we have lost too many of our children and grandchildren. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. I'm just going to read through this. This is the parable of the seed, but it's a warning to us. Those things that can choke the seed, the word of God taking place in us, and it goes along with that last scripture we just read, being godly rather than just having a form of godliness. And Luke 8:4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." You know, I think the people he's referring to there are those that don't ask. And it talks about that in the 14th chapter of second book of Nephi, that if we want to know what we should do, we should ask. But those that don't ask, that don't seek, they won't hear. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which they that hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So let's be those that hear and keep it, have joy in it and keep it, build upon it, dedicate ourselves so that our children can see that in our lives. They can then see that fruit that's brought forth in patience. We do it, you know, through the trials, through the temptations. We stay patient. And we continue in that faith and in that dedication, in that steadfastness. Romans chapter 14. And I want to bring out a specific area here because I believe that this is a temptation to some of us. But I'm talking about this dedication now. And I'm talking about these pleasures. Are we pleasing men or pleasing God? I believe that we have a real temptation among our members to partake of wine and of alcoholic beverages for their own pleasure. There is one commandment to partake of wine. And that is when we partake of the bread and the wine in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a warning here in Romans chapter 14, 21, in verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. You know, we can also offend our children. We can cause them to stumble so that they may never be able to get back up. If we set an example of pleasing ourselves and having fun and drinking and being merry, and then we call ourselves a Christian, being called after the name of the Son of God, do you think they're going to make that same choice to follow Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism if what they see in us is the pleasures of this world? Turn with me to Matthew 18, of the warning of this offense that we set before our children. Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believeth in me, it is better for them that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned at the depths of the sea. You know, we can do that in all sorts of ways, by our poor examples, whatever they might be, and by not living the good examples we've learned from other brothers and sisters in Christ and from the Word of God itself. We can offend them. And God loves his children so much that he warns us of the punishment. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. And I'm going to complete this sermon by the example that Christ set. And I think I wrote it down wrong. If you'll excuse me. You know what? I'm going to go back to Matthew 8 and start in verse 1. We just read verse 6. But I'm going to complete this sermon with reading Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive such little child in my name receiveth me." And I'm going to end on that scripture. Let's live out our faith by word and by deed, by love, by joy, by example, that our children might be trained up in the ways of the Lord. May God bless us in this effort.